Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thanks for joining us today in your window on the world. Today, our panelists are
Linda,
Bill,
and Doris. We'll finish the article about See Me. Well, we had a good time talking about this yesterday, if you can call it a good time. I think it was, because we talked about the positive thing about people who are physically handicapped.
Yes, we talked about acknowledging the people first and not just focusing on their disability. And this is really important for all of us.
And, you know, there are so many people like that in the world. We don't even realize it. They used to stay home and never go out. Now they're going out more, and you see them everywhere in every country of the world.
That's right. So I think for us, you know, it's very important, as Bill said, the title actually of this article is See Me. Don't look first at the outward appearance. See what's inside that.
So we are talking about disabled people and people who are normal, but, you know, sometimes you wonder who's normal. There's all kinds of...
Very true.
and we might need to be careful with that term, normal, and I think what they mean through this article is people that are just, they're not suffering from a physical or a mental disability or a handicap, so, and that's what they mean by normal. We're all normal in our own way, I guess.
But remember, you know, like Linda mentioned too, what is one of the reasons that people don't talk to these people more like real people?
Well, it's because of our own insecurity, kind of. It's not because of them.
We don't know what to say.
Right. People don't know what to say.
Well, if you don't know what to say, why, then there's some things that you can find in the magazine here on page 27, which we'll talk about later, that will help you. Tells you how to do it. So that's no excuse for you anymore. After reading this article, go for it and talk to people who are disabled when you see them, right?
Yes.
So today we're going to start at the bottom of page 26, and we're going to read two different paragraphs here that's going to be about staring, good or bad.
Staring, good or bad? Perhaps the most common reaction people have when confronted with disability is to stare, which in itself is not offensive. Staring is a neurologically and physiologically driven response to the human craving for novelty, as natural as eating, said Rosemarie Garland Thompson, author of Staring, How We Look. But there is a difference between a look of respectful recognition and a stare that is invasive, Garland Thompson said. Kathleen Houghton, whose younger sister has severe cerebral palsy, said that she has gotten good at telling the difference between stares. Sometimes they're just curious, said Houghton, who lives in Massachusetts and is co-guardian of Mary, 49. Other times it's patronizing, a sad smile, oh, you poor thing. Other times people look stunned. They don't know what to do or how to act.
All right, Doris, we start this section, Staring Good or Bad, by saying perhaps the most common reaction people have when confronted with disability is to stare. So we see first when confronted with disability, and that's actually how many of us feel confronted. We aren't expecting it. We don't know how to deal with it. It's kind of a lot of people perceive it as unpleasant, so that's why we say confronted.
They're a little embarrassed, Bill. Kind of embarrassed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, staring is not good. But when children are around, they'll sometimes even say something and say, Mama, see that funny man or see that lady? And I know what that's like because when I first came out to China many years ago and they hadn't seen tall, blonde Americans with big noses and they called you gao beads or something, mm-hmm. say, Mama, and sometimes they'd cry, point at you. So I know what it feels like. You know, somebody different, and people don't know how to do that, and kids will often do that. Won't they do that when they see somebody like that?
Oh, yes. We had a new family move into our building where we live a couple of years ago. And the first time the little boy saw David, he started crying and ran to his mom.
Right. Because Weikwaren. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that's not quite the same, but it's the same idea. People don't know what to say. See?
Right. And as parents, you always teach your kids, don't point.
Yeah, don't point.
Don't point.
And don't say anything.
But I think it's interesting that it says that actually staring is not offensive itself. It's the kind of the manner that you do it in.
But it says it's kind of a response that people just always give because, I don't know, something that's different than they always stare at it.
I thought this was a very interesting paragraph, our next paragraph, that says that staring is a neurologically and physiologically driven response. So neurologically has to do with the nerves in our body, you know, that control our movement, and physiologically has to do with our body movements. So something about it. But I think the interesting reason is because to the human craving for novelty. So we can't control that we are staring.
It's interesting.
Some psychologist wrote that, you know. But actually, you also stare at something if you're afraid of it. Like I said, little kids might be afraid of a foreigner because they haven't seen people like that. And so they might stare because you want to be sure they're not going to hurt you. You don't know how to react. So the staring is not only for novelty. I think it's kind of a fear sometimes too, isn't it?
Right. It's a natural reaction. And I think this goes back to our primitive days when people were hunters and gatherers thousands of years ago. And they had to notice the thing that was different, or else if they didn't notice the thing that was different, they might get killed.
Might eat them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, still, I think, you know, if you're out hiking or something and you see something, we always stare in that direction, like if it's a snake.
See if it's coming at you.
Yeah, see what's happening. And
especially if it's a snake.
But I think it's interesting that it's Rosemary Garland Thompson, our author of Staring, How We Look, that says that this is as natural as eating. I just found this paragraph so interesting. I didn't know that before.
It's very psychological.
Yeah, very, very.
I think the staring is something subconsciously we do. A lot of times we don't even know we are staring. And I've had instances where people have asked me, why are you staring? And I'm like, I'm not staring.
Well, sometimes you're just – no, but really, you know,
just
sometimes
looking
you're
intently.
Because you're trying to figure something out, you sometimes stare at it. You can't quite figure it out.
Yeah.
That's one way.
But I think it's interesting that it has to do with our nerves and also, you know, physiologically our body movements that, you know, they are naturally drawn. It says, you know, to a human craving – it's something that we have to have. I don't know if I really...
I know that, you know, these psychologists come up with a lot of crazy ideas, you know. Well, I'd
like to know how much study went... I mean, I'm sure that a lot of study went into this. But the next paragraph says
that there's a difference between when you look kind of, oh, this person is handicapped, you respectfully recognize that when you talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different than when something is invasive, like you're just really kind of horrified. I mean, that would be more invasive as something that would bother them. I don't think they mind a look like that, but it just depends on how you stare. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
I think that's important.
I think you can convey a lot in your facial expression, too. There is a difference in people's faces. If they're just staring, it's almost like emotionless. Whereas if there is respectful recognition, usually people might smile at you or at least give you a certain look with their eyebrows. And you can sense that, well, this person is at least trying to communicate with me, at least non-verbally in a way.
Well, it depends on if it's curiosity or a fear, or there's a lot of things involved. And this Kathleen Houghton here, whose younger sister has very severe cerebral palsy. Now, this is a disease that really has hit a lot of kids. Kids are born that way or they get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really, really something that makes you look different. I think, I don't know whether that person in the picture here has that or not.
No, he's...
he's got something else next to Zarina.
Oh, the girl is Zarina. It's hard to say.
Yeah, but you know, they do look different. But she's gotten used to seeing the difference. So what does she have to say about that?
Well, she says that sometimes they're curious. We've talked about that a lot, you know. We always stare at something curious. And she is her sister Mary's co-guardian, which means that she's in charge of her life.
Right.
And other times it's patronizing. And that's a very interesting
Oh, you poor thing, like that. Mm-hmm. They don't want that. They don't want that kind of pity.
Right, because you're acting like they're stupid.
You're right.
Yeah, when we patronize somebody, maybe we're giving them flattery or maybe compliments that, in a way, they even know this
right.
is not sincere. It's almost
right.
like you're just saying something
it's
that
like
just kind of get a reaction.
It's like when you're saying to somebody, well, you did all right for a woman. You might say that, Bill.
Yeah, that would be very patronizing. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's kind of a patronizing way of saying things, yeah.
Yeah, and patronizing things are things that really aren't
put
genuine.
People down in a way, yeah, don't they?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, oh, you poor thing. And other times people, they just look stunned and they, oh, that's terrible. Look at what happened to that person. And they don't like that either.
Well, would you?
No, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, we shouldn't act like, well, this is the first time I ever saw somebody in a wheelchair in my life. So we need to, not look at them like, oh, wow, you're so different. That's not the way to react.
Right, not at all.
So we know what we shouldn't do,
mm-hmm.
but what can we do? So what we can do is what we're going to talk about now. So let's read that next section.
What we can do. The solution is not to look away. Houghton said she welcomes questions about Mary and is thrilled when people offer help carrying a grocery bag or other tasks that can be cumbersome with a wheelchair, though not when they insist. There are a lot of times when she can get ignored or not noticed, so it's really nice when people talk directly to her and include her, said Houghton, who runs recreational programs for special needs students.
So, what is the solution?
Not to look away. So, the solution is just don't quickly turn your head, which most people do.
That's true.
Most people look away.
Don't stare and don't look away.
Right.
So, there's two things.
So what do you do?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? You're not supposed to stare. You can't look away. So you just look normal. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, yes, I think so. And it says that actually Kathleen welcomes questions about Mary, and which I think most people would never dream of asking. Or if we do, we're too embarrassed, kind of like, what do you say, what happened to her or what happened to you?
I know, and it doesn't really help her any by you asking if this is the way she is.
Right. And also, offer to help if somebody is carrying some. I think this is very good and is thrilled when people offer help carrying a grocery bag or other tasks that can be cumbersome with a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So cumbersome. Have you ever carried anything cumbersome, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Cumbersome,
big suitcases.
Right. My suitcase when I fly to America is cumbersome carrying that thing because it's so heavy and it's very difficult to carry a long distance.
And big and awkward sometimes. It also has that meaning. So if you're in a wheelchair, remember that sometimes people need assistance. Mm-hmm. Don't stand there and watch them struggle.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And then you can ask questions, but I think you have to be careful what kind of questions. And then you could say something about, well, are you, enjoying the sunshine today? Isn't it nice out? Or something about the weather or something. You don't have to talk about their physical, situation, do you?
No. I mean, people are people.
Yeah.
So we would never talk about, a person standing there, their physical situation. So why would we do that to somebody in a wheelchair? But we would talk about the weather or something.
Yeah. I mean, what would you ask anybody else? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Somebody's what did you do today?
Well, if they're overweight and you can't say, well, aren't you too hot now with all that weight on you? You can't say that either. I mean, there's a lot of times you have to be careful what you say, don't you, Bill?
Okay, in the phrasing.
Yeah.
Well,
but this is a really, really, I'll tell you what, this is a really good point here after the dash, though not when they insist. So Kathleen Houghton is saying, that's great, ask, offer to help. But once you offer to help, you do not insist. Don't insist, I'm going to carry that for you. And just listen for the answer. If they accept your offer of help, great. If they don't, say, okay, fine.
Okay.
Just
so this is advice, and they're really nice people, but, this person runs a recreational program for special needs students, so they're kind of used to it. They know how to do it. Most people don't. So they're just giving us a little tips, right, or a little advice here, aren't they?
So I think her advice is what everybody wants. It's really nice when people talk directly to her and include her. You know, nobody wants to be ignored or feel left out or have you talk over your head about you to somebody else.
That's true.
Yeah, I especially we see here there are a lot of times when she can get ignored, which happens with most people with disabilities, or not noticed. So it's really nice when people talk directly to her. And we're not talking about blindness in here, but that's, you know, we see a lot of blind people in the city. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see them, I usually will ask them. I'll ask them, you know, how are you doing? You know, can I help you? Mm-hmm. In any way, especially, or a lot of times I might see them at the convenience store and they're trying to make their way around the store and ask them. And it's a little sad to me because then I will watch the situation and most of the time most people will not even speak to them or offer to help in any way.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. They don't know what to say. So they're trying to tell us here to see them as people, whatever they need, if it's physical help or if they're blind, say, oh, can I help you find something? Or, you know, and speak in a very normal way, just like you would, you know, if it's an older lady or a little kid or anything else. You just teach them the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I totally agree.
Right. So they want to be treated just like any other guy or any other person. I think that's what they would really like. So let's read the remainder of this lesson.
Like any other guy. Trockman, the college student in a power wheelchair, said a major thing people often forget is that he's interested in the same things as they are. When people try to shake his hand and realize he can't, he'd prefer a pat on the hand or a fist bump than a flustered retreat. If anything bothers him, it is when people talk to him through his companions as though he can't speak for himself, or when they express sadness at his condition. I love my life every day, Trockman said. I do not wake up in the morning thinking about the limitations of my life as a person with a disability. I think about the things I'm going to get done that day. There's still life, and there's so much left to do.
Okay, you know, Doris, in our first reading yesterday, we had met Ben Trockman, who actually was paralyzed from the neck down because of a motorcycle accident. Now, we reintroduce him.
That's right. There's a picture of him here, Ben, too.
Yeah, there's a picture of him there at the top of the right corner on page 27. So we bring him back into the story.
Okay. So tell us more about it, Bill.
All right. We see that he is like any other guy. And we read that Trockman, the college student in a power wheelchair, said a major thing people often forget is that he's interested in the same things as they are. So first off, look at that picture. He's in his power wheelchair. This is actually how he navigates that wheelchair around. It's battery powered, and he actually uses his head to move forward, sideways, to turn it, things like that. He has to use his head because that's really the only part of his body he can move.
Right. And yet he's all dressed up nicely, sitting in a chair there, and, you know, it just looks like a regular businessman, doesn't he?
Well, like any other guy, it says.
That's right.
And we see that he's 24 now, and he's been paralyzed for 7 years, so that means that he was 16 when he was in this motorcycle accident. So that's a major part of his life, really, those formative years as being a teenager and into young adulthood. But he said that, you know, when people try to shake his hand and realize he can't, he doesn't want them to make a flustered retreat. This is a great word, flustered. It just means confused. You don't know what to do, and you're not calm about it.
So what does he want them to do then?
Well, you know, it says a fist bump or maybe a pat on the hand. You know, you don't want to pat somebody like this on the head, go, you poor thing. But, you know, just an acknowledgement.
Well, that's certainly better than walking away kind of upset. Flustered means, oh, I don't know what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, uh-oh, I'm sorry, and then walk away. He doesn't like that.
Well,
and I
who
wouldn't
would?
Either.
No.
Well, you can imagine what just even a pat on the hand or a fist bump would mean to this guy because he can't do that. And the fact that somebody actually would reach over and touch him on the hand, I mean, that would be just very meaningful for somebody. like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it tells you if anything bothers him, the thing that bothers him the most is when people talk to him through his companions. You say, well, tell him this or tell him that. Well, he's sitting there. He can listen. Nothing wrong with his ears. But they act like, because he can't move much, please tell him we care about him. They don't like that.
Well,
you wouldn't either.
No, right.
It's embarrassing.
I think we forget that this is we're talking about physical disabilities in his situation. We're not talking about a mental disability, mm-hmm. you know, and it's very important. But we just tend to lump everything together.
Turn around to somebody and say, oh, isn't that too bad he's this way? Hey, you know, he can hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Careful what you say. So what does he say about his life? Does he hate life, Bill?
No, he says, I love my life every day. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is.
Incredible. Because think about how
very
many
positive
people we encounter every day, and they're complaining, my boss, my job, my wife, my husband, my kids, my. And this guy, I mean, he is dealing with such an uphill battle, and he says, I love my life.
Right.
And also, he also goes on to say that he doesn't wake up. And I want to ask our listeners, how do you wake up in the morning? Are you happy to be alive? Are you glad to get up? You know, what do you
Are
think
you
about?
Are you happy you can get out of bed and get
That's
dressed?
That's right.
Get
and ready, put your 2 feet on the floor
That's
and walk
right.
to your the MRT or to your job. Mm-hmm. He doesn't wake up thinking about the limitations of his life. He thinks about all the things he's going to get done that day. You know, that's such a positive, optimistic outlook.
Yeah, there's still life and there's so much to do. And he's going to think about things, plan things, read things. There's all things he can do. And sometimes we forget all the blessings and the wonderful things that we can do. And we forget that some people can't even walk around. But you can. So I think this is a very good lesson for all of us to realize that we really need to, you would say, zhenxi in Chinese, we really need to appreciate what we have, don't you think?
I totally mm-hmm. agree. I think actually we would all have a very different perspective on life if we woke up every day thinking this.
And, you know, here there's some things that you can say. It's kind of a sidebar. It says, what if you're the kind that feels a little bit awkward about interactions with these people? There's a few little points here. Let's take them one by one. What's the first point they tell you, Bill?
Speak directly to the person with the disability, not just the people with him or her.
And we just mentioned that. Mm-hmm. That's one good point to remember. That's number one. Yeah. What's the second one, Linda?
Don't patronize, talk down, or lavish praise for having the courage to overcome a disability.
Sometimes people want to do that, too. Oh, you're so brave to go through this. Well, I'm just doing what I had to do. You know, that kind of thing.
That's right. And also, they don't have a choice, you know. So, you know, it's their life.
And what else are you supposed to do, Bill?
Be patient and give your undivided attention, especially with someone who speaks slowly or with great effort. Don't try to finish their sentences. And, that's a really good point right there. It's very hard for us to be patient while somebody is struggling maybe to finish a sentence, and it's so tempting for us to jump in and finish it or say what we think they are going to say. And it's very frustrating for those people then.
Okay.
To have that happen.
Because they actually do know what they want to say, mm-hmm. especially like for people who have trouble speaking and stutter. My father-in-law stuttered mm-hmm. his entire life. And it is. You have to learn not to finish somebody's sentences like that. They're smart. They know what they want to say.
Yeah, give them a chance. Right?
I even find that actually when we are working with our students, when we are teaching, that if a student is maybe struggling to finish a sentence, I've gotten better at it. I don't jump in and finish that sentence for them. I let them search for that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, because that will help them. Not me finishing the sentence doesn't help them.
No, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, another thing it mentions here, another point, is that you should avoid mentioning the person's disability unless he or she talks about it, or it is relevant to the conversation. If you're talking about cerebral palsy, or if you're talking about palsy, or what if you're talking about the Olympics, they're going to have special, you might say this is for handicapped people. You might mention it when you're talking about the subject. That's okay, isn't it?
Well, it seems to be. I think it's kind of interesting that this is from the Tennessee Disability Coalition, and it says avoid mentioning it. But early on the article, it said at least say something.
Yeah.
Right, instead of just staring,
right.
You know, you could maybe bring it up, ask what happened. So, you just have to assess the situation,
Think about how you'd feel
very well
yeah.
and right. to know which right. what you should say.
Keep in mind that mm-hmm. this person, all right, you look at this Ben Chalkman, that picture up there. That guy has probably talked about his disability and or his accident 1,000 times before. And so he probably doesn't want to talk about it again. That's why we're saying try and avoid it as much as possible unless you have to.
Okay. And the last thing, Bill, you've mentioned it a few times. It says we really do need to offer some kind of assistance. Read that one, Linda.
Right. It says offer assistance and wait for it to be accepted before assisting. If you are declined or told no thank you, then don't keep on. Don't
say, oh,
insist.
Yes, I want to do this. I'm going to, you know, hey, don't do it if they don't want you to.
Well, I've offered to help people, like blind people with a cane, you know, and mm-hmm. some people have said they would like my help, and some people are like, I'm okay. They say I'm okay, then I don't grab their arm and drag them mm-hmm. across the street.
Mm-hmm. I hope not.
<know?
laughs> Yeah, I've gotten both. I've gotten both replies. Right. Yeah, sure, I would appreciate it, and other times, no.
So as we look over this article here that we've talked about the last 2 days, see me, the main point is to acknowledge the person, not what's wrong with them. No matter how disabled they are, that picture there with Serena, that person is severely disabled. But some are not as disabled. But no matter whether it's a little bit or a lot, some of these principles still stand.
Yeah, and it's something that we need to keep in mind that if somebody is just, you know, we notice some small thing even about them that's different from us, don't ignore them. Look at them. Greet them like you would greet somebody you are really anxious to meet. And just treat them with respect like everybody else.
Okay, so I think there's some good tips, good helps. And don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't turn away from them, but just be natural. See them as a person. And I think there's a lot of people around all of us, wherever we go, we see who have these disabilities. So these are good tips for every one of us.
Yeah, I think it's good for us to remember that people are people.
Right.
You know, it's just the shell on the outside that you're looking at. But inside, people are people.
So thanks for being with us as we've discussed this. Discuss it with your friends and use some of these helps and tips that we've had. And this is getting close to Christmas, and I know that a lot of you are out busy getting ready for that great holiday. But whatever it is, be sure that you take time to listen in to Advance Every Day.
Bye for now.
See you for another lesson next time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.